Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
This is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited about our guest today. It's Jesse Wolf. He has an incredible hummus brand. I'm going to let him explain it to you. He was on Shark Tank. Jesse, it's great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to be on the show for sure.
Great. So tell us about, you get your idea. Tell us about your company, your initial idea, kind of how that all started first.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because I've always been an entrepreneur and I just didn't realize it until I hit college. And when I started college, I basically started a detailing company when I was like 18 that took off. And that was like my first sense of like, oh, this is called entrepreneurship.
Like that was my first business too. Jesse, that was my first business too. Yo, Waxmaster Mobile Detailing was my very first business.
Yeah, that's funny, man. Yeah, Wolf's Performance Detailing. Yeah, I mean, it's a great business. Like, I'm not going to lie. To this day, it's still a great business. If anybody's looking for a good source of income and a great starter business, detailing rocks, I mean, for sure. So, yeah, that was like my first like legal business, my first LLC. And, 08 hit, the recession hit and wiped that thing wide out. And, when I was in college, I was looking for like the next big thing. And I loved what I did in detailing, but I was really chasing like a multi-million dollar idea, right? Like something big, something scalable. And, like any entrepreneur, I tried all kinds of stuff. And I always had a passion for cooking, grew up in the Midwest in Ohio and, raised on basically a farm. So that was in my DNA. And, I basically like had my wisdom teeth removed over one Christmas break, between classes or semesters, and wanted this buffalo chicken dip that a grocery store down here sells. Tried to chew it, realized it was too chunky with chicken pieces and I couldn't eat it during, after the recovery.
Yeah.
So I end up, taking some hummus in my fridge and putting in some like Frank's Red Hot and some blue cheese chunks, and I was like, wow, this is pretty good, but it was too runny. So I was like, all right, well, being an entrepreneur, problem solver, I was like, I'll just get on YouTube and figure out how to make hummus, basically. And then I went to the grocery store, and that's literally the first tub of hummus I personally ever made. And my friends and family are coming over checking on me for the next week or so. I was given this hummus, and they're like, holy hell, man, this is good stuff. Like, this is cool, you should make this and sell it. And I'm like, maybe I should, So that's kind of how it was born, really.
It's so cool. So tell the world about your hummus brand and how you get on Shark Tank and where the company is today.
Yeah, so, we started off trying to figure out, like, where to sell this stuff, in 2014. And we were like, well, the easiest low-lying fruit would be to go to farmers markets, You don't have to be in a grocery store. And I didn't realize how much money you can make at a farmer's market, but it was insane. So it was quite the journey to get into a farmer's market. But once we got in, we did six figures pretty quick. And I was like, wow, just at a farmer's markets. So, it was actually the farmer's market's fault that we even ended up on Shark Tank because everyone kept coming up to us and saying this hummus is great. Your squad is hilarious. You're awesome. Great personalities. You guys should go on Shark Tank. And of course, I was that entrepreneur that like watched it from day one. And I was like, yeah, that would be the dream. So like, long story short, I had a couple fellow entrepreneur friends. We were all in this incubator at UCF. And she was like, hey, Shark Tank's coming to town. You should go down and audition for it. And I was like Orlando? She's like, no, Miami. I'm like, okay, that's not quite town, but I hear what you're saying. So I thought about it. I was like, we're too small. And she's like, yeah, but you're selling. Like, just go. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, screw it. Let's go down for, like, the fun. Let's go down for the PR, down for social media, and see what happens. And that's what took us down to Miami. That was on Monday night, and we left Tuesday afternoon to drive to Miami. So I had, like, 24 hours to prepare, packed up our stuff and drove down and did the audition, which is crazy.
And the rest is, as they say, history. What's the name of the company? I know this, but I want you to tell the audience and what makes your product so different than everybody else's.
Yeah, it's called Odang Hummus, and we are basically the Ben and Jerry's of hummus. So, you know, we do all kinds of crazy flavors and innovation with chickpeas alone. You know, everything from the dips, which we've done, to salad dressings and beyond. So we figure out ways how to repurpose chickpeas and make them more beneficial throughout more meals throughout the day. That's what we do well.
Yeah, no, it's, I was looking at all your flavors and everything. It's, you have it all. So you get on Shark Tank. What is that like? I mean, give me the whole, what was...
Yeah, you know, it's stressful because, you know, the cutting process is wild. I think they audition somewhere around like 40 or 50,000 people a year, and they cut it down to about 80. So
that's
every week,
tough.
You know, I mean, it was like, yeah, it was crazy. We started in January, filmed in June. So that whole process, that whole time, they're constantly telling you like, hey, you know, this is due, but you know, there's a chance that you might not make it to next week. Like, we cut every week. So, like, every week, you're, like, anxiety is just through the roof. Like, did I get through? Did I not get through? And then once you go on, I mean, the coolest thing I'll tell everyone about Shark Tank is it's 100% authentic. It's literally just a meeting, a real business meeting that has, like, 45 cameras on the one side. So that was something that really surprised me, was how authentic it really was. Like, it seems genuine on TV,
yeah,
but I mean, it's a legit business transaction. The sharks do not know who you are until the moment you walk through that door, and you don't really know who your sharks are until you walk through that door. So it's a genuine, like, first meeting, and you get to truly explain your product. And you know, it was wild. I mean, my episode's like 12 minutes, 13 minutes long, but I was in there for almost 3.5 hours, you know, pitching and talking. And
yeah. And what do you find? Because I, you know, what questions, were there any questions that surprised you, or was it really, you know, the, how much does it cost for you to make your product? What are you selling it for? How many customers have you sold it to? You know, that's the big $1 million questions.
The standard. So, well, it's funny because, you know, we studied Shark Tank like game film, like you would for football or something, before we went. Like, we found every food product that had ever gone on and went over the questions they, you know, were asked, and, you know, how to just be prepared, because you see the people that walk in very unprepared just get chewed up and spit out, and that wasn't going to be us. So it was funny. One of the hardest questions I got was actually right off the bat. You know, I walked through and I handed samples out to everybody, and I just got done doing my little 2-minute intro, and I turn around and Kevin O'Leary goes, Jesse, is there garlic in this hummus? And I go, well, yeah, you know, it's delicious, right? And he goes, are you aware that like 23% of Americans are allergic to garlic, and what do you do about that? And I'm like,
oh, wow.
What? I'm like, holy shit, man. I'm like, we're coming out of the gates with questions like this. So that threw me for a quick loop, and it was funny because then Mark Cuban – and they cut this out, actually. They didn't use it. But Mark Cuban's like, you know, Kevin, you know, freaking relax, dude. Like, let the guy, like, tell us about
breathe.
The company. Like, every, you know,
yeah.
20 – yeah, he shut Kevin down. And I was like, Cubes, what's up, man? Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yeah. But other than that, you know – and, again, that was just a curveball because I was more anticipating those business questions.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just – expecting the first one to be so granular. And other than that, I mean, we had a blast. I mean, it was really a shit ton of fun. You know, again, I knew my business. I mean, I could do it, especially at that time, you know, being so early, I was so proud of the fact that I knew my business inside and out. I mean, obviously now it's 10x that, right?
But, yeah.
You know, you really couldn't throw much at me at that time that I wasn't prepared for, because we had spent 6 months preparing, like, day and night, you know what I mean?
No, I listened. I'm a fanatic about know your numbers. In one of my books, I have a whole chapter of the 8 unbreakable rules. And one of the chapters is you got to know your numbers. You got to know them like you know the stats of your favorite baseball player when you were in, you know, years ago when you had baseball cards and you knew every stat to every, or like a fantasy player today, you know, every stat. A good business person knows every stat.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, my opinion, and that's, I agree. You got to know everything about your business at all times. And if you don't know something and you come across the question, the worst thing, in my opinion, you could do is put up a bullshit answer instead of
just
going,
pause.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason for it, you know? Like, just admit you don't know it, but then tell the action plan. I'm going to find this answer by Tuesday.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I said the exact same thing in my book. When I talk about, I did a bonus chapter of my business plan book about pitching your business plan to investors and your partners. And I go, listen, you're going to get a question you don't know the answer to. Just know that. It's going to happen. What you don't want to do is what you just said, is BS the answer. Look them in the face and say, I don't have that answer right this second, right now. I wasn't completely prepared for it, but I know I can get it for you. And it's a great question. And I just hadn't thought about it. And just give me such and such. Just admit you don't know it and get the answer.
And then to me, and I've sat in many VC meetings, I've sat on Shark Tank, I've raised millions of dollars in capital at this point in time. To me, part of it, I feel, is a true test at this point in time to see, you know, what kind of person are we working with? Are we working with somebody that's resourceful and can find answers? Or are we going to get bullshit runarounds from this person? You know what I mean? So sometimes I feel like it's a test and you know, don't play into it, you know, give them the truth, you know what I mean? And it works every time.
Yeah. So how did the final deal work out with you guys? You know, you just give us a little overview and where the company is now.
Yeah. So we ended up getting two sharks on TV, Robert Hershovec and Lori Grenier. They agreed to come on as partners. And then actually, all said and done, we ended up not doing the deal behind the scenes. And there was kind of a plethora of reasons, but it was basically we had a giant grocery store, which we had been working on for almost a year, ready to take our product in, and they wanted to take us more the QVC route.
Our product. Yeah, I knew once you said Lori, I knew. Yeah, that's her. Yeah. That's her exit ramp for everything.
It is, and I was like, you know, she had done something similar with another food company in their portfolio, and it didn't work. And I was basically like, Lori, like, you know, we have this great opportunity. Teed up, like, that's really hard to get for most food companies, and on TV you'll see it, they cut it right at the very tail of it, but they agreed to come in for $50,000 for 20%, and the big deal was they agreed to fund all of our purchase orders, which was, I mean, that's worth more than the funding itself, right? Like, just to have a bank basically. And after, behind the scenes, they pulled back on that. That was the big thing that, like, really kind of, you know, upset me, if you will, you know.
Because they're not bringing value to it. If you have a grocery store, so you have your sales, you have a sales vehicle right there waiting.
Yep.
You always have to say, no matter how good your partners are, what are they bringing to the table that if I did not have it, our business could not exist. You got to give me something that creates survival to a whole different level if I'm giving you 20%.
Right. And, I mean, it even came down to, you know, when that was it. I said, listen, you know, I would like to keep you guys on just for, you know, the sake of having you as advisors, you know, like peeling back a couple points just for an advisory role. And you know, just for their, you know, their fame and, you know, business. And, you know, we basically all walked away. We're still good friends. You know, I mean, everything's kosher and everything was good. We just couldn't get to the right strategic place. And then along that same path, I actually had a local bank here reach out and go, hey, listen, like, you're on Shark Tank, you know, we'd love to do some PR work with you. So, I mean, they gave us a great revolving line of credit for basically in exchange of being, you know, kind of a poster child for them for, you know, a year. And, you know, it worked out. So we used that to put ourselves in the Publix, and, you know, the rest is history. You know what I mean? It's just rock and rolled since then, and we've had our challenges, don't get me wrong, but you know, we went from 2014 one farmer's market to almost 10,000 grocery stores today nationwide.
That's incredible.
So it's been a
bloody ride. Well, I was excited about this interview because of I love meeting with people who've actually done it, and you've taken it from, you know, and I had a problem, what if we could make it with flavors so that, you know, and then you develop this product and you scale it, you know, and you raise the money. I mean, every stage of a successful startup you've gone through. What's the one or two pieces of startup advice that you would share with people who are looking to start a business? Every industry is a little bit different, but we all have kind of like a golden rule, you know, knowing what I now know, what are kind of your golden rules?
Two things. One, the biggest one that I have tested and got bit, you know, on is not trusting my gut. if something doesn't feel right, look into it. You know what I mean? If something,
yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've trusted my gut, even though I was scared. You know, I just felt it inside, like, hey, this is going to work. And I jumped and it worked. And then vice versa, if something felt wrong and I didn't listen, I got bit. And I got bit hard, you know, a few times. And then, so that's a big one. And then two, execute. You know, there's so many people that get so hung up on, you know, oh, I want to start this business, but I don't know where to start. Just start. You know, I mean, people don't understand, like, you're not handed a successful business plan. You know, nobody gives you the keys to the metaphorical Ferrari, right?
It evolves.
You know, yeah. You know, and like, yo, I tell people, you know, this is my favorite thing. Constantly, I get hundreds of emails a week asking for business advice and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of it's so repetitive because they're like, you know, I want to start an ice cream company. Okay, you know, how many ice cream shops are in your area? Well, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Get on Google and research how many ice cream shops you have. What's the market? Does anybody give a damn about your ice cream? You know, is there a need for your ice cream? You know,
what's going to make you different?
You know, because then my favorite thing is, I don't know where to start. I think I need to raise money. All right, well, you don't know where to start. You don't have any information about what you want to do. You have no executive summary, no business plan, no game plan at all. Yeah. Then you want to walk into an investor meeting and go, I have an idea, right? And I'm just very perplexed by that. So it's like, you can get so far with a business idea. I'm talking like full-blown presentation, ready to pitch a VC, had to, right? On $0, just your sweat equity, you know? Yeah. And that's my thing, is like when people get hung up on, you know, well, I don't know where to start. Just start. Start poking around, start, you know, networking on LinkedIn, start researching on Google, you know, start calling your competitors, start eating your competitors. You know what I mean? Like, just start.
No, you're so, it's so funny that you say that, because I'm fanatic, you know, I'm 20 years in, and this is just a funny story. So a competitor comes into my area, and he's in a Valpak, and he's against one of the companies that I own. So the first thing I naturally do is I take the coupon, I go to my office. I told one of my secretaries, I want you to get an estimate. I told one of my other partners, you get an estimate. I want to find out about this company. Basically, they came back and said it was like dealing with the Three Stooges. The owner of the company calls, leaves us a voicemail. I cannot believe that you would try to do business. You know, basically, I'm like, that's the first rule of business, is experience your competition.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, he was so upset. He did like a negative Google review, left us a vile voicemail. You know, I'm like, no, your business is a contact sport, buddy.
Yeah. Yep. Buckle up. And that's the thing too. I'm a super nice guy. And when I first started a business, you know, I got ran over like a doormat a few times, you know, and I'm still a great person, but I've put on those layers of thick skin. Like, you know, if somebody walks up and says, I hate your product, I go, that sucks. Tell me why. You know, I don't get offended. You know, it's like, I want to know why you think it sucks. Yeah. I might not change the company because of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm interested. You know, and I mean, you have to. Like, to me, that's the funniest thing I've heard probably all week, because it cracks me up when other business people get offended at situations like that. When, if anything, it should just fuel your fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, it did. Oh, he's fired me up. I doubled my advertising. I went back in. I said, like, okay, listen, we are absolutely going to let this person know what it's like to be in the big boy leagues. We buy Super Bowl ads regionally. So this guy had no idea what he was dealing with at the time. I went in there, had my radio rep, my TV rep, reached out to my Valpak guy, and I said, listen, I'm buying his ad space. He goes, what do you mean? I go, if you want me in it, it's exclusive. He goes, we don't do exclusive at Valpak. I go, I'm not going to mention his name. I said, I'm going to repeat this one more time. I have advertised with you for 10 years. There's a word, this one phrase, I don't want them to use. He came back 2 days later and goes, Sean, you have it.
Yeah, Bert, yeah. That's my favorite thing, is, well, we don't normally do that. Great. Let's learn today. Let's start today. You know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. I'm all day long. It's like, you haven't before, but here's an opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I love that. That's such a great story. And you're smart. You're so smart for jumping on that. Where, you know, other businesses, and look at what Amazon has done to so many brick and mortar. And then you got someone like Walmart. Walmart's like, no. You're not going to just run us over, you know.
Yeah.
Walmart put on the boxing glove and has been fighting back, man. You have to.
They did. They did the value proposition that they did that was so smart is where Amazon was getting the quick buyer, they threw the grocery store in. The grocery store created the weekly buyer, and people still want to see, touch, and feel their groceries.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that was a brilliant move. And then they went online and still, you know, they end up buying Bonobies, who helped them with the online. Basically, Bonobies had the great blueprint. And this was like a high-end clothing store, and Walmart buys it so they can get the technology. What I'm saying is business is a freaking contact sport, buddy.
Right. That's right. Yep. And it's fun. You know, if you like the – I mean, I get an adrenaline rush. I tell people – you could jump out of airplanes. You can climb Mount Everest. I'm sure that's an adrenaline rush. I'm afraid of heights. I'm not doing that. Yeah. But starting a business, man, is just unbelievably highs, unbelievably lows. And I don't know. There's just nothing I've come across that's exciting as fun as this.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, I've written 3 books, and most people write a book and then their book becomes their business and they never get back into business again. I'm working on 2 startups right now. One is probably the boringest business, might do 200,000. One I'm looking at could probably do 10 million. I'm sincerely as excited about both of them.
Yeah.
I can't explain it to you. I'm juiced about this little $200,000 one, and I'm excited about the potential 10 million one. But I like the jazz is still the same for me. I still got to launch it. I got to have a competitive advantage. I got to partner with somebody. I got to create a marketing. You know, what's going to make us different? I'm still jacked.
It's fun, man. It's chasing, you know, that quote unquote high. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a real world puzzle. I mean, there's just no other way to think about it. And I don't know. I mean, it's either for you or it's not. And like I said, I tell most people, I'm like, there's levels of entrepreneurship for everybody. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Entrepreneurship is just a broad term. You know, you could be a boat detailer or a detailer and make a nice little living. You can mow yards and make a great little living, or you could be Jeff Bezos, right? And everything in between, you know? So it's just, you know, how deep do you want to get into it? And, you know, what's your tolerance for risk and putting out fires and stress and, you know, problem solving? You know, if you don't like problem solving, you know, this might not be so fun for you.
It's so true. I always said, if I would have known half the problems I was going to have in the first 5 years going in, I would have never started any of my businesses.
Yeah.
Right. I could never have predicted them thing. That's why it was too funny. Like I thought about going, this was like when I first started my business, I thought I'm at the University of Virginia. I live in Charlottesville. And I'm like, maybe I'll go get a master's degree in business. Right. And so I sit down with one of their professors at lunch. His son played on my son's like sports team or something. And I'm like, he goes, Sean, you would jump off a bridge. He goes, you're already doing it. Like your brain is already like seek, destroy. He goes, what we offer would not help you in any, it would never help you as an entrepreneur.
You want to hear a funny story add on to that? I had the exact same conversation at the University of Central Florida, where I went to school. I was like, you know, I think I'll go back and get my master's. And we actually have a PhD program here in entrepreneurship too, which is, you know, pretty cool. And I was like, well, maybe I'll look into that. So I sit down with the dean, and that's exactly the same conversation he gave me. He goes, if you want to be a professor one day, we'll let you be a professor in residence. You know, he goes, but there's nothing here. He's like, you could probably teach the PhD program at this point in time. Yeah. He goes, you know, it'd be great to put on your resume, and I can't believe I'm telling you this. He said, but just keep doing what you're doing. You know, he's like, unbelievable.
So it's so true, because I'm like, maybe I'm missing something. And the guy like, actually, you're not missing anything. You have already figured out how to execute. Okay, you've already figured out the final step of the whole. You know how to execute. You know how to evolve, adapt, you know, innovate. We're not going to help you.
No, and you know what's funny? Execute is one of my favorite words when people ask for advice, because, and you could probably completely attest to this.
Yeah.
You do one, it's just like anything else. You do one, you fumble around, you do the next one, you get a little better. The third one, you get much better. You know, every business opportunity, and again, even with where I'm at today, I'm looking for my next one already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everything goes by faster. You execute quicker, smarter, faster, cheaper, more efficiently, whatever, to where it almost is like, holy hell, man, like where this took me 3 years before, I'm doing this in 3 months now. You know what I mean? So it's fun to see the more you get into it. And that's your, you just got to take those repetitions. You know, if you have a startup and it fails, great. Move on to the next one. That startup
exactly.
Taught you a whole host of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's funny. This is why I knew, it's funny, like my audience is, you know, I never prep a guest because I never promised a guest I'm going to air the show. If they don't know what they're talking about, I can tell 5 minutes into it and it's a 12-minute interview and I don't ever pitch it. I give it to my assistant and we send them the polite email. When they go, well, when is it going to be aired? We apologize, but we just didn't quite meet the criteria that we were looking for. This one, you know, 25 minutes in on a 10-minute podcast. I love it. I mean, I love talking to somebody. Jesse, I mean, you've done it. And you can tell you're still jazzed about it. And you're still jazzed about what's next.
Yep.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. I'm addicted. I'm hooked.
Yeah, I always say.
And it's fun.
It is fun. And what I've said about where we talked about entrepreneurs, I've concluded that some people are small business owners that had an entrepreneurial phase. They either lost their job, they had an idea, you know, they had about a 1 year phase of entrepreneurship. And the second they got enough money to survive, they just became a business owner. But they never, the money doesn't matter. It's the jazz of it's hiring people, it's putting the team. I love the teamwork. I love the creation of an idea, you know, building out an idea, creating an idea. Oh, I love every phase of that.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, literally, there's not an aspect I really dread, to be honest with you. I mean, I might not be good at all aspects.
Yeah.
But I love, like you said, building the team. And the biggest, most humbling experience to me was that Steve Jobs quote, where it's like, hire people smarter than you to support you. You know, and when I caught on to that, and I read that quote, I don't know, I still read it probably every other week, you know what I mean? Because that's it. I'm not good at everything. And the minute you can understand that.
Yeah.
And then figure out your personal SWOT and then improvise on that. I mean, your life changes basically that day. But
it is true. You're absolutely right. We're only gifted. I have awesome. Maybe 2 to 3 things I do extraordinarily well. And there's 80% that I would delegate a bowel movement if I thought somebody would wipe my ass really good behind me. Okay. Just so you know. Okay. I would delegate it. I'm just letting you know in advance. Okay, that I delegate everything I possibly can, but there's a few things I do extraordinarily well that nobody can. I don't believe anybody within my organization, I think they would all agree, can do the few things that I do.
Yeah, and that's incredible. You're that self-aware. You know, that's something I've learned over the last, you know, 5 years, is to be more self-aware of what am I good at, and then if I'm not good at it, do I want to be good at it? You know what I mean? Yeah. When you ask yourself those questions. You know, oh man, it's just crazy. And you get more stuff done. You know, like the world opens up and it becomes really a playground.
Yeah, my staff gets it too. Like they literally, when I'm in my office, my business partners will come to me. What are you doing that you don't want to be doing? What can I take off your desk? My staff is trained to say to me every week, what can we, like Rummy Cube, what tiles can we get out of your plate in front of you? Because they want me drilled in on my few superpowers.
Yep. Which is genius. I mean, that's a well-oiled machine, you know, that you have built and running. I mean, that's insane how great that is. And that's killer for sure.
Well, listen, Jesse, you're amazing. I so appreciate you having you on the show. You have a great humility. You're excited. Man, I have to have you in one of our summits just to give entrepreneurship advice. I love people that actually have done it and are still, no, it's still doing. As soon as I get off this, I'm getting your cell phone number. So I'm going to close it down. Please hang on for a second. Listen, you know I'm excited about this podcast because you can tell by how long it went. Listen, Jesse Wolf has done it. And Jesse, how can they connect with you in any way? I apologize. I got so excited. I didn't even do my due diligence.
No. I love it, man. I am a psychopath on social media. So real Jesse Wolf on Instagram, Jesse Wolf on Facebook, and Jesse S. Wolf on LinkedIn. You know, give me a follow, shoot me a DM or question, and I love to connect and network and grow.
Well, that's it. You can tell I was excited because I totally had forgot that. I'm like, my gosh, I got to do the due diligence. Hey, listen, we're grateful that you listened to the podcast. Again, subscribe, like it, listen to it, tell others about it. If you have a question, You can DM me or just ask me at asksean@seancastrina.com. We will talk again soon.